coming up on TMS. You can't drink all day unless you start in the morning.
I don't like crotch beers.
Hospitals, they're full of sick people.
The answer is always murderers.
Can I get that with Hall & Oates milk?
I've only seen one murder. Oops, I'm dead.
Hot nozzles that poop out plastic.
Touching feet at a gentleman's club.
Spider peen.
Baby shark every week.
Brown beard takes his booty.
Swift punch in the chest.
Like pixels, not like pixels.
Breaking bits with Bill.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Every time you clap your hands, you kill thousands of spores that'll someday form a nutritious fungus. Just show your approval with a mold-friendly thumbs up.
If you'll look at that real close, you'll see the phallic symbol.
The Morning Stream, where man is made whole.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to TMS. This is The Morning Stream for August 16th, 2021. It's Monday. Welcome back. I'm Scott and he's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. It's another week. It's another Monday.
Mm-hmm.
It's another manic Monday, Scott.
Is it? Is it, though? Is it? Actually, it probably is. I got a lot to do today. It'll be pretty manic.
Yeah.
Hey, we're here. Brian's wearing a loud shirt. I'm not. And we're gonna do a show.
It's the summer of Hawaiian shirts, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, what's
summer
this one?
Summer of Hawaiian shirts.
I'm looking. I see a Captain America shield. What else we got?
That's right. Yeah, this is the Marvel one. Way less subtle than the Star Wars one.
Yeah.
Which, one week ago, I was wearing the Star Wars one to Disney, and I went to Star Wars Land, and had some blue milk right about now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I was getting some blue milk in me.
Oh. Yeah, right about now, the Funk Soul Brother. And you sent me
now.
While you were there, you sent me a picture of you drinking in a place I didn't know had alcohol. So there's that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Day drinking. Brian was day drinking.
Day drinking. Yeah, you know, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
That's what they say. Well, anyway, we're back. We got a full week. Okay. In a couple of weeks, things get weird. So enjoy it while you got it, because we're gonna be normal. We got Ireland coming up for Brian. We got my anniversary coming up. It's going to be a little bit weird, but we will have shows. They're just a little strange the way they'll fall. Uh-huh. But, you know, don't worry your little heads.
And I will be doing some call-ins and stuff. You know, may not time-wise, who knows if it'll work out to do call-ins with Scott because of the time change. Mm. Well, hold on a second. Hold on. What time is it in Dublin? Okay, it's 4:15 p.m. right now in Dublin.
Oh, that's not bad.
So that's not bad. I mean, that's like
you could call.
Oh, checking into the checking into the hotel before we get dinner. I could do a quick little morning call in before the guests and news and all that sort of thing.
Sure, sure. A little top of the show. Top of the show. We could do
top of the show to you. Is what we'll call.
It's our
new segment. Top of the show to you.
Just to be as stupid and as stereotypic as possible. Top of the show to you, brought to you by TMS. That'd be cool. And when you're with Claire, that wouldn't be a bad idea to get a little audio. I don't know.
Yeah, that will be around the time that we see Claire, but that won't be during a show day, I don't think, because of Saturday or Sunday.
Right.
Weekends are weird. We actually leave on September 1st, but we get to Ireland on September 2nd.
Oh, gotcha.
And we go late enough in the day that I could have done a show Wednesday morning.
Do you go back in time at all or forward in time? How's it work? Forward in time, right?
Forward in time. Okay. Yeah, we get there. Actually, we travel with the sun. So no, it'll basically be an overnight flight, but we will arrive the next day. It will still be the next day when we get there.
Oh, gotcha. Fair enough. No, you
does that all
time.
Make sense? I mean, basically, it won't be 2 days in the future.
I gotcha.
You know, so when we go to Tokyo, we're doing that. We're leaving on a Monday and getting there on a Wednesday, but we're not flying for 28 hours, if that makes sense.
That's right. No, that makes totally sense. They call Wednesday samurai in Japan, is what I've heard of.
They do, really? Yeah, Pops in the Recline describes it perfectly. We fast forward time on the way there, we pause time on the way back, but we don't lose a day on the way there. We just are several more hours ahead.
Will you, if something happens, will your photo I have of you over here fade? Will you fade out of the photo?
Yeah, but it'll start at my feet.
Yeah,
and you'll be left with nothing but a weird photo of the booth that somebody took in the in the future for some reason.
Right, for some reason, just an empty shot of nothing.
Just an empty shot. Okay. That means somebody took a picture of the booth,
and you'll know that's happening because you'll be seeing through your hand. It'll be semi-translucent.
Correct. Yes, and I won't be able to play the guitar, which I can't anyway.
Right, but your kids are going to love it. All right. Sounds good.
Yes.
When you said we'll be traveling with the sun, it sounded like a really pompous way of saying Tristan's going with you, but I know he's not.
We'll be traveling with the sun.
Yes, and the sun will be there.
Yes.
Time.
Yes.
Well, I'm excited.
Nope, not on this trip.
Brian does Europe will be the name of that week, and we'll let you know how that goes. I got a Canadian
thing to talk about, though.
Let's get to the Canadians. The Canadians are great. We love the Canadians.
Canada!
We're going to talk about Canada today.
Canada!
Here's the deal. Kim and I and Carter were in a car yesterday. It's not a joke. This is real. It's a real thing.
Okay. All right.
And we were driving, don't remember, we're dropping Carter off at Taylor's. Taylor had to do a big photo shoot, so Carter was going to help her get set up and do some stuff because it was for a whole bunch of little kids. They're doing like preschool, kindergarten photo shoots. She got hired by a school to do it. And so
that's great.
It is pretty great. It's good money, too. And she needed Carter's help with some of the sets and stuff. Because they're doing it, they look like little classrooms and desks.
How many times during that whole process does she have to tell a child to take their finger out of their nose for the photo?
She prefers to tell them to put their fingers in their nose, and it has the paradoxical effect of reminding them to not put their finger in their nose.
Perfect. All right, that's great.
It's just you got to know how to do it with these kids. But anyway, so they go over. We're going to go over there and do that, and we're like, you know, let's stop and get something at a Beans and Brews or somewhere. Carter wanted something, so we're like, fine, no problem. So we go through. It's just for Carter, so she's in the back seat. Kim's at the drive-up window, and I'm sitting over here, and everything's fine. Carter says, or Taylor, Carter goes, well, here's what I want, and Kim goes, cool. Can I get a beep, 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 beep? And the guy goes, yeah, that'd be great. And Carter goes, with oat milk. Okay? Behind her head.
Okay.
With oat milk. And Carter,
with
and
oat
Kim,
milk, sure.
And Kim goes, pulls her head, hears her, and then goes forward to the mic again and goes, can I get that without milk? And I laugh. I laugh, and then I feel a swift punch to my chest because Kim doesn't like it when I laugh at her in drive-ups. It's a real thing for us. So what I was laughing at is it sounded like a Canadian, like she confused something a Canadian would say, even though I know it's oot and not oat, but something about saying...
With oot milk.
With oot milk or with oat milk sounds kind of like you're saying without milk, which is what she did, and we just thought it was funny and cute. But man, she hit me hard, like right in the chest. Was like, bam!
Nice. Good. Well deserved.
I still have this little red mark right here. And she hates it when I do that. Like if she's at a drive up and she says something that messes up, or
the
guy comes back and was confused, or if any of us go, make sure you ask for whatever after we've already supposedly told her what we want, it's like one of her biggest. She hates it. She can't stand it when we do this to her.
Here's the equivalent with Tina. We'll be watching a movie, and it's some dramatic scene. Something sad happens to one of the characters, and she starts tearing up a little bit, and she starts wiping her eyes or getting a tissue.
Yeah.
And I look over at her, and that's all I need to do is look at her when she's tearing up from a movie, and she gets mad at me and wants to punch me.
I do the same thing to Carter, and she hates it when I see her cry. But I do it on purpose. Like, hey, we're going to watch that new Pixar movie. I'm sure there'll be nothing emotional in it. It'll be fine.
Right.
And then we'll watch it. She'll cry just like Tina. I'll look at her kind of like this face. I'll go like, well, look at us. And she'll just like, bam, bam, and just start punching me in the arm. But anyway. This is what we do to torment the women in our lives.
The women in our lives. It's totally true.
Or Nick. I do it to Nick too, but I just don't see him as much. So that's
How's he doing?
He's fine. He was he was actually working a place we visited yesterday while we were out driving around. He's got, I don't know why he's doing this, but he's currently got 3 part-time jobs that he really likes equally, and he's waiting for one of them to offer him full-time, and he'll take whichever one it is.
So wait, is he just back home for the summer from Red Wing?
No, he's done. Didn't I tell the story on the show? I thought I did. Did I not tell the story about Nick?
I don't remember if you did.
Oh.
I don't remember it on this show. Maybe you told it on Skim or,
maybe
it could have been during nap time, which is usually jury.
Right, right. A Tuesday or something. All right. Well, just the short of it is he was in, you know, Minnesota, was going great, was working for Red Wing. He got an offer to go work in Portland, Maine.
Okay. I do remember that.
Yeah. And a company was like, hey, we want to pay to bring you out here. We're going to pay you more. We're going to do all this stuff. We're going to have you manage this stuff. We're going to blah, 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 blah. And it was like super exciting and cool. And he was stoked about it. So he applied. They said, yes, you're perfect for this. Let's do it. They negotiated his pay and everything else. It was all set to go. And to the point that he had gotten out of his lease early in the place in Minnesota, which immediately got swooped up by somebody else. So there was no staying there.
Yeah.
He also had quit his job at Red Wing, at the Red Wing headquarters there, all ready to go. His car gassed up, ready to go to Portland. And about a week before all this was supposed to happen, those guys totally yanked the carpet out underneath them. The people that offered him the job were like suddenly like, "Oh, we've had something come up. We can't do it now. This isn't going to happen." So he is left like, "Oh, well, I'm high in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. I got no, and they're not going to pay the money they were going to pay to move him because that was part of the deal. Is they were going to throw him a couple of grand to get all his stuff to Portland, to Maine." And it didn't happen. So as a result, he was like, well, what am I going to do? Do I scramble and try to figure something out here? Or is the cheaper thing just to fill the car up and go home? Like, let's go back to Salt Lake and do it. And that's what they did. Yeah. So he did.
Wow.
So he came back here and he's currently, like I said, three jobs. One of them is, I forgot what they call it. It's basically a private club for guys that are like big wiggy millionaire types that go in there and get their shoes done and like smoke a cigar on the veranda and just are, it's like some kind of fancy gentleman's
like a
club.
Country club, but not attached to a golf course or what?
Yeah, it's just like a place where they all go in there and I don't know. It's like a private club for men, sort of, but it's not a gay club.
A place you work at the Blue Oyster. Yeah. No, it sounds like a place that you and I would never be invited to go, and we're just fine with that.
1,000% agree with you. But the nice thing is they tip huge. So if they come in and they get their shoes done, like he'll belly up and do somebody's shoes, and it's like a shoe shine type thing, you know.
Yeah.
And they'll tip you $50. It's like here's $50. Here's $100. Here's whatever. Like, these guys are loaded. And so the reason it's interesting is because it's pretty highfalutin. Oh, this Squeeze played there in a private concert.
Shut up.
Squeeze.
Really?
Yes. I meant to tell you this. Squeeze played there. And I could have gone had Nick worked there then, but it was right before he got the job. So I couldn't go.
Oh, man.
Who was the other band?
Yeah,
another band from the 90s that was a big deal. And they performed there. Crap.
Wow.
Filter performed there.
Filter, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I picked up a Mojo magazine this last weekend because there was an article about Crowded House that I wanted to read, and there was a CD stuck to the front, and apparently this, now that I'm saying it out loud, apparently this music, or this magazine must have come from 1997, but why don't they do a digital thing, Mojo magazine? Just give a printed code and let the people, anyway.
Yeah.
Going through that, it makes me so sad, right? Because it's talking about concerts in the UK.
Sure.
And this fall, Madness touring the UK with Squeeze as their opening act.
Oh.
Blondie touring the UK with Garbage as their opening act. And Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark touring the UK with Skritti freaking Politti as their opening act. And it's like, these are bands that I would pay top dollar to see here in the States.
Yeah.
And guess what? Hall & Oates is coming to the U.S. Or not coming, they live here, I guess. But Hall & Oates is touring the U.S. And guess who's opening for them? Squeeze. And guess what day they're doing that show? The day I leave for Ireland.
Oh, man.
Screw you, Maneater.
Wow. Hall & Oates with Squeeze opening? That's weird.
Hall & Oates and Squeeze, man.
Yeah,
I know, it does seem like a weird, but I mean, there was that whole Blue-Eyed Soul crossover.
Yeah, that's true. Plus, they're just, I don't know, there's a hipster.
Here's your Hall & Oates to Squeeze connection. You ready?
Yeah, go.
Hall & Oates, original performers of the song Every Time You Go Away, which was a big hit for Paul Young. Paul Young is one of the two backing vocalists, along with Elvis Costello, in the background of Squeeze's Black Coffee in Bed.
Oh, wow.
There's your connection.
Wow, that's a pretty good crossover. So hold on a second. Every time you go. That one?
Yeah. Away. Yeah, that was originally Hall & Oates before it was Paul Young.
You take a piece of me. That one?
That's the one.
What is that from, movie-wise? Why is that ringing
they
a bell?
They did a crappy cover of that at the end of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That's
and the
one!
Less we talk about that, the better.
That's the one. It is a bad cover.
It is the worst cover ever, yeah.
But I associate the tune, the melody, so strongly with that movie, I can't take it out of it.
Yeah, I think it's while he's on the train. Oh, no, it's after the train when he shows up. When they go to the house and he goes back for Dell, picks him up to take him back to his house and have Thanksgiving dinner, and that song is playing.
Yeah,
and for some reason he rings the doorbell. Like, he lives there, but he rings the doorbell at his own damn house.
It was really weird. But she's up on the wife's up on the stairs. Oh, and here's a fun crossover. So the wife up on the stairs, she was the head of the organization, the little secret-y organization in the boys. Before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she got killed though, right? See, sorry, spoiler. There's a death in the boys, but I want to say in season one she may have gotten shot. I don't remember, but the actress.
Wouldn't surprise me.
She's the older lady who does stuff, and she's great. She's really cool. Anyway, well, that was a fun workaround.
That was a fun little tangent. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. So Nick's technically here in Salt Lake City again, and
cool,
doing fine. He's fine. It's good.
Good
to see
him. Good.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's good for you guys to have him back.
Yeah. He's not living here, but he's in the city, so we see him and. Went and saw him yesterday, and he'll be over tonight for some other stuff. And anytime he needs lunch, guess what? He shows up and gets it. Because that's what you do when you're a vagabond son of a cooking mother who made a big batch of jambalaya yesterday.
Right. You just bring your own Tupperware and...
Oh, her jambalaya is really good right now. This latest batch, holy shiz. Mm. If you guys are making it at home, I got a new idea for you. You take the sausage and you burn it a little bit, not a lot, but just like kind of sear it on the outside before you chop it up. I don't know what that did, but
seals in the juices when it cooks in the
something in the
stew.
So good. Oh, I just want more of it right now, but I might be gone now. We ate it really fast this time. All right. Cool. I gotta play something that Gus sent us. Okay.
All right.
Gus sent this in and it's just a fun thing to play. I'm actually going to pause the YouTube because I think YouTube's going to ding me for this. So it's
really,
It's really short. So I don't think Twitch will care, but YouTube gets weird with their robots. So I'm going to pause this video, but the people can still hear us live. So here we go. He just sent this in with no explanation. This is from Gus. Can you feed us lies from the tablecloth?
La, 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 la. Oh, that's fantastic. I was like, where's this going? And then it's some of your screams from Resident Evil.
Yeah. He just said he said he had to do it, and I'm always happy to play weird shit you guys send us, so keep that stuff coming.
That's
love it.
Absolutely hilarious.
Well done.
I had an interesting weekend, Scott. Yeah. I went over on Saturday afternoon to the neighbor's pool. Crazy neighbor's pool for a little bit with some of the other neighbors. We kind of all got together and hung out, and Tina and I were heading up to Boulder for dinner and so that she could try a new lens she bought for the trip. And so we got out, we're toweling ourselves off, and I feel this tremendous sharp pain in my crotchal region.
Oh,
as I'm toweling off, I'm like, what
your loins,
all but right. like a bite or a sting or something, and it's about 2 inches to the right when I look down, so to the left if you're looking at me from the business end of the business end of the brine. And I'm like trying not to be obvious about, but I'm like feeling around there for like, is there a bee in there or a spider or something like that? Cause something really sharp or a splinter or who knows what. I get back to the house to change into dry clothes and I look and sure enough, something stung or bit me.
Mm.
And it's still, I put on some cortisone cream and, I use this, we get this little suction tool that we use for mosquito bites.
Yeah.
And it took the sting away immediately. This was really cool. And I think some venom. I mean, there was liquid. There was some venom that came out of this thing. But it's like a little plunger suction thing that you use. Got out the bad sting, but I still don't know. It's a white dot with a white bump with red all around it.
Is it spreading at all? Any kind of not infection, but like allergic or anything to it? Or?
No, I mean it's spread initially and hasn't gone further than the initial spread.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. My guess is that there was a spider hanging out in the towel, and that when I started drying off, that spider said "F this," and then. Yeah.
Gosh dang it, dude. I don't like stuff like that. Because it could have been like, I don't know. You guys get the brown recluse?
Brown recluses out here. We do have black widows. I know there's a corner of the basement here where I constantly am getting rid of black widows. Yeah. So who knows? But I mean, if it was a black widow, I'd probably be sick now.
Yeah, probably. You would probably, it'd be worse. Yeah.
So, my guess is it was a wolf spider, and I'm waiting to see if I can stick to walls and howl at the moon so I can be Wolf Spider-Man.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to ask is, did you, any superpowers, anything manifest itself since the...
Nothing yet. I had a bloody nose last night that wouldn't stop, but that's not really a superpower, is it? Is that a...
No, it feels like a super problem sometimes.
It's like infinite bloody nose man.
Yeah, that's no good. My dad used to get those. He used to get... the worst bloody noses. My sister had terrible bloody noses. She'd wake up in the morning and her bed would be soaked in blood sometimes. What the heck, man? I never get bloody noses. Ever.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Rarely get them, but I think it's just because of the smoke and how dry it's been lately.
Yeah, that stuff's been bad. We have our own fires now, so now I can't even blame California. We got our own fire stuff, and we'll send some of that your way. So enjoy our fire.
Oh, I know. I saw the map. I said it's coming. Yeah. It's coming. Yeah. Really quick, one last thing before we bring Brian Dunaway in here. Went and saw Free Guy yesterday.
Oh,
and enjoyed it tremendously. Ryan Reynolds and Jodie Comer from Killing Eve.
Oh, I like her.
She's great. I like her a lot. Yeah, I like her. I mean, basically, hey, Tina sits there and looks at Ryan Reynolds the whole time during the movie. I can sit there and look at Jodie Comer.
That's right.
The whole time during
the movie. She's the assassin lady from the Killing Eve, right?
She's the assassin. She's Villanelle, yes.
Yeah, she's awesome. I have a similar crush, by the way. I got the same vibe about, I know these people are all way too young for us to have crushes on, but she reminds me of that Florence Pugh is a lot like her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, kind of, yeah. She's also got her eyes spaced apart like Anya Taylor-Joy.
Oh, wow, in the Vivitch. The Vivitch.
In the Vivitch, yeah. Yes.
not the and upcoming the Mad Max sequel.
The Queen's Gambit.
Or the Gambit, but the Vivitch, yeah. That's the one. The Vivitch. Did they get the video game stuff right, or am I in trouble here?
Yes, okay. He's a non-player character that... through a series of unusual events is able to see what the players see in this huge MMO game that he's a part of. Yeah. And hilarity ensues.
I'm in.
It is really good. And there's a lot of deep cuts for video game players.
Yeah.
And a great cameo that I won't spoil.
Oh.
A completely unexpected cameo that...
Not Taika Waititi. We knew about him.
Yeah, no, he's very prominent. So he's the bad guy, Taika Waititi.
Yeah, he's like a cast member in there.
You first see him and it's like, is Taika Waititi wearing a prosthetic chin? No, he just has a really strong jawline. That's his actual chin.
Yeah, they didn't have to do much to make Kronk or whatever his name is because that chin is just about the same as his real chin.
Korg, yeah.
Kronk. Uh-huh. Kronk. So I assume he's great and wonderful in this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun show. I called it on Twitter. I called it a rom-com. Get it? A rom-com.
Yeah.
Like a ram-com, but a read-only memory-com.
Nice. I'm into it. I want to see it. So I'm glad you liked
it. Seeing it. It's a bummer it wasn't day and date streaming somewhere so that you could check it out as well. But
it does sound like the dumbest thing concept wise. It seems so dumb, but everybody I've talked to is like, no, they got it figured out. They did it right. It's great. So
yeah, and and you don't get like other video game characters making appearances in this, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
right.
No,
you don't get Pac-Man all of a sudden and. Somebody's saying, like pixels, right? I'm like, no, not like pixels. Not like pixels. Like pixels? Not
well,
like
see,
pixels.
There's a good example. Pixels on paper is dumb, and it is also turns out to be executed
on screen
dumb.
Turns out
yeah. dumb. So well. Sometimes these things get pulled off. I always think of, like, Galaxy Quest. Shouldn't work. Totally does.
Right. That's a good comparison, yeah.
Fargo, the TV show. Shouldn't work. Totally does. Like, you can do this stuff. You can pull it off, man. You just have to have the right people involved, and it sounds like they did. So I am in. All right, I'm going to call Brian Dunaway, and we're going to play a game. We didn't get to do this at all last week, so I'm kind of excited about this.
Yeah,
I missed it.
I missed our little game shows too.
Yeah, it was way fun.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do the 3 days that I can stream while you're gone, because I won't do a TMS. I don't have all the
shmoo,
the things I need.
You should totally
I could
stream.
Do like little game shows or something.
You should totally stream something fun. I don't know what, but that's.
I was thinking I'd stream some new video game or stream some video games, but yeah. I could also do like a little game show with contestants and all that.
Yeah, look at you putting on the hosty pants for the video or sure. for the game shows. All right, I'm gonna play this here button right here. Now you all know what that means when I play that. It means it's time to welcome Brian Dunaway to the show, who joins us from South Carolina and does every Monday and Wednesday when we have our little game shows. Hello, Brian. Hello.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hi.
Hello, Brian.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Good. Feels like we just talked to you for 2.5 hours on Saturday.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I've had enough of both of you. I'm out.
You're out of here. It was that was weird because I think we just that everything about Suicide Squad and then everything around it is just such our jam. The Suicide Squad. That we just got carried away and nobody felt like we were going over it. Just went long. No.
That's because you weren't looking at the Discord. I was going, Scott, enough.
I gotta go.
Enough.
I need to poo. I'm going to shut this thing down. Well, anyway, it's good to have you here.
It was good times.
We're going to play what do we play here? This is what
the Rocky Shark.
This version of it we call the Morning Squirm. Brian, you'll explain to us how this works and who might be winning today or who might
That's
be playing.
That's right. Yeah, welcome to the Morning Squirm, a back-and-forth trivia game where our players will match wits on topics that Cliff Clavin would have offered up at the Cheers bar. Scott and Brian are going to take turns answering multiple-choice trivia questions, and if they get their question wrong, the other player gets a point. The player with the most points after 5 questions wins the prize for their contestants, and we're pulling contestants from members of the Tadpool that can't be here live. So, Scott, you're playing for Rasmus from Helsingborg, Sweden.
Ah, sweet.
Good luck, Rasmus. Yeah. And Brian, you're going to play for David from Houston, Texas. So good luck with Rasmus and David.
David.
I'm so proud of us. We've grown up so much.
Have we?
Yeah, really? 10 years ago, if you had said so-and-so was from Sweden, there would have been a Sweden accent, and then you would have said something about Texas, and then I would have tipped my hat and said something Texas, but we don't need that.
Yeah, well, we don't sometimes need that. We still do. If we talk about Ireland, all bets are off, so that's just the
way. Oh, well, Ireland, that's different. That's everybody's joke.
That's different. That's everybody's joke.
It's just funny we didn't go bork, bork, bork. You know,
right, yeah. But anyway, you did now, so now
we did now,
lost
so,
all
cred. We've reverted back to our childish selves. I can't remember who won last week, so let's say, Brian, you get the first question.
Sure.
Okay.
I actually won, all so right. That's perfect. You should start.
You did? Oh, that is perfect then. All right.
Yep.
Ladies.
Oh, ladies. Yeah,
ladies,
I'm on this.
If you think your new lipstick looks killer on you, you might be right. It could actually be deadly. A 2013 study found that 75% of tested lipsticks contain this toxic material.
Oh, okay.
Is it A, mercury, B, arsenic, C, lead, or D, hydrogen sulfide?
I don't know, but isn't it like made from like pig parts or something? Isn't that the joke? It's got the fats.
I can't remember.
In
it. Is it whale blubber or something? Isn't it? Or is that am I thinking of something else?
Who knows? Well, you're thinking of my ass.
The whale. the whale barf is a different thing, but that's like perfume, right?
Yeah, that's ambergris. Is
ambergris,
that right? Is
it ambergris?
Yes, the whale fat thing. That's weird. Yeah. I'm actually gonna. For some reason, before we even read the ones, arsenic was hitting my head for some reason, even though I don't know why. I'm going to say arsenic.
Brian says arsenic. Is that the correct answer? No.
Oh, you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking of the Flavor Aid.
Yeah.
At Jonestown.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. Yeah.
I'm also probably thinking of all those cigarette commercials.
That too.
Flavoring it in Jonestown. All right, Scott, you get the point.
Yeah.
But do you also want to guess mercury, lead, or hydrogen sulfide?
I'd say mercury.
Mercury is also incorrect.
Interesting.
Damn it.
Lead.
How else they make them shiny?
75% of tested lipsticks.
I was gonna blame the Chinese. I know there's been all the lead problems from products coming in. Is that the reason why? Is it manufactured primarily in China?
I didn't go that deep to get answers.
Yeah, Dunaway, you xenophobe, just throwing it all on the Chinese like this. Look at this.
Well,
jeez.
Dude, that was a problem for a while. There was a whole movement.
Yeah, I think that was like a year ago or 10 years ago. By the way,
I'm not saying
thing.
Yeah. But I'm just saying there were different standards for manufacturing.
But isn't there lead? Oh, lead. I'm thinking of iron. Yeah, no, lead's bad. No lead.
Yeah,
lead's bad.
Don't lick the paint, kids. Yeah. Don't lick the paint.
Whatever you do.
All right, Scott, this question is for you. If you grew up watching TV every day, you saw about 16,000 of these by the time you turned 18.
Okay.
Is it drug commercials, cartoons, movie trailers, or murders?
Oh,
this is a hard one.
Those are good.
How much?
16,000 of these by the time you turned 18.
I'm gonna go with the murders. It feels right.
Scott says murders. The correct answer, or is that the correct answer? Yes, it is.
Yes. Yeah. Look at that. That's murders, a lot of murders. Holy shit. Jeez, Louise.
It seems like that would be. So that was an average, right?
Well, you saw about 16,000, yeah. So average.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Every
time
on
the A team.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, like every action show we liked when we were younger, every episode of everything.
No one died on the A team.
No. Did
probably not.
Someone died.
Probably like.
Right. Someone died.
Simon and Simon. Somebody died on Simon and Simon every week. Heart to heart.
Week.
When they met, it was deadly.
Yeah. Well, I know people died on Magnum PI and Knight Rider and. Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, Mikey's giving Dunaway heat here. Says, no, Dunaway, exactly 16,000 murders.
Well, I was just thinking, I know. That would be the opposite of what I would think. But no, I was just saying, it just seems odd because I don't feel like I saw nowhere near that many murders, but I wasn't watching the same things as other people. So.
Well, I also think part of this whole statistic is that we think we didn't, but we really did or whatever. Like, isn't that that's the whole point? Is like, oh, wow, you saw a lot more than you thought you saw. I thought you were going to say cereal commercials, and I would have believed
it. I'm about to fact check these people. 1,600.
16,000.
Kiss my butt. Let me see.
Yeah, yeah.
How old was I supposed to be?
Well, you were
18.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that. But what year? Because I turned 18 many different. I didn't turn 18 the same time everybody else did.
Right. I don't know. You know, that's a funny thing. It's like it says 18 years of television watching every day. But if you started back in 1960, you'd see far fewer murders than if you started in 2001, for example.
Interesting.
I wonder if there's a statistic.
Statistics.
I wonder if there's a statistic that says how many boobs you've seen in that amount of time, and that if it's actually an odd number because we all saw Total Recall.
Yeah, that's right. Do you count each one or do you count as a pair?
No, it's because we saw Total Recall and there's a third boob in Total Recall.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So that's not really a pair, is it?
No.
It throws off the average. Yeah.
No, it's a trifecta of boobs.
Hey, Marge, guess how many boobs I saw today? 13.
See? That's exactly what he would say.
That's right. All right, Scott, this question. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Brian. This one goes back to you. Speaking of death, if you live in the United States, we're not sure how you're going to die, but the most likely place for you to die is
watching TV.
on Magnum PI.
Right.
A hospital, B, a nursing home, C, in your own home, or D, in bed.
Interesting. All right. Just from the sheer volume of times that humans spend in bed versus those other locations would make me think that in bed would be the most likely place to die.
In bed is incorrect, and it's dumb how this question is worded because, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Point goes to Scott.
Scott, the other three again?
Yep, in a hospital, in a nursing home, or in your own home. Where are you most likely to die?
See, that's where it got me.
It'd be own home then, because I think that's what you're saying. The bed is a specific part of a own home, but it's probably the home overall, right?
That is also incorrect.
Really?
A hospital.
Wow.
A hospital. But chances are, if you're in a hospital, you're in a bed, and if you die, you're in a bed in a hospital. So,
and it's your bed. No one else can have it. You know what? So right. I'm taking the win. No. It may. You know what? The statistic tells me. What? You know what the statistic tells me?
What?
Don't go to the hospital. You'll
right.
die.
Right.
Yeah.
You're more likely to die there.
That seems like a really great idea to have to take away from this. Well done.
Yeah. No, it's a poorly worded question, but Scott still gets the point.
I love it. I love it.
Scott,
yeah.
The record for the longest time spent without sleeping is held by Randy Gardner and is A, 5 days, B, 18 and a half days, C, 13 days, or D, 11 days.
Wow.
So 5, 18, 13, or 11.
I'll say.
Or E, Randy's full of shit.
Randy Gardner sounds like horny Gardner to me. Right. Let's do, I don't know. I don't know. 18. I'll say 18. B.
18. All right. Is it 18 and a half days? It is not. Brian gets the point. Brian, your remaining choices are 5 days, 13 days, or 11 days.
I think 5 days is the max you can go without sleep, right? I mean, yeah.
All right. You're saying five?
I'm going five, baby.
Five is also incorrect. 11 days. 11. Randy Gardner went without sleeping.
11 days.
I want to know if they watched him.
Or also,
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, you can just call the Guinness World Record office and say, "Hey, I've been awake for 11 days.
Could you jot that down?"
Yeah. Is that also? I assume it's not with the help of like drugs, stimulants, things like that.
Maybe. Probably was with the help of like caffeine.
Could have been.
I imagine
right?
coffee.
Yeah.
And,
I can barely stay awake for 24 hours without taking micro naps that are not, you know. Yeah, it's like
for me, like 8 hours is a stretch.
Yeah. It's the struggle. This whole show,
too, for
it's
me,
been
man.
A struggle.
Last night, as like 10:30, I'm like, why am I so freaking tired at 10:30? And it didn't matter. I was just going to bed. That's how it was.
Yeah,
good right. Night.
Yeah.
All right. This one goes back to Brian.
Yep. He got the point for the last one, right? Right.
He did get the point of the last one. Yes,
yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah, because yes.
Yep.
Right.
All right, Brian. On average, a person walks by 16 of these during their lifetime. Another average, by the way, Brian. It's not an exact number. Mm. Just letting you know.
Okay.
Is it
You say one thing one time and suddenly it's Baby Shark every
Dude,
week.
Dude, that may as well be my nickname on this show. I say one thing one time and it haunts me forever. So welcome to the club.
All right. On average, a person walks by 16 of these during their lifetime. Is it A, murderers, B, billionaires, C, CIA agents, or D, people who will die that very same day?
Whoa. That's
okay. Dark. So 16. So that's an interesting question. So,
in a lifetime, you'll walk by 16 of
right.
What kind of people?
I think it's got to either be murder or deaths because you would never know if you walk by a CIA. So how would you even track that? How would you even know? Did the CIA agent say? I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
They probably figure like a number of CIA agents
right.
compared to the populace and you walk by them.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, how would they know murderers? Like they're not wearing a sign that right. says, oh, murderer.
All these trivia questions have been hard to... verify, yeah. except yeah. the staying awake thing, apparently, on average. I was going to say they died that day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. 60 people died that day.
60 Happens. People who will die that very same day? Incorrect, Scott. That's the point.
I am doing terrible today.
You are, yes.
Mm.
Don't Murderers, help me. Billionaires, or CIA agents?
I don't think it's billionaires. They're way too small of a percentage.
16 in a lifetime, my friend.
Eat the rich. Let's go with...
eat the rich.
Let's go... As weird as it sounds, let's do CIA agents. I mean, is this U.S.? These are U.S. statistics, I assume? This isn't worldwide? It
doesn't say.
Oh, geez. That adds a weird wrinkle to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say the CIA agents. I don't know.
Okay. All right. CIA agents is... Also incorrect. Yeah, Brian, you should go with your first thought. It is murderers.
Murderers.
You'll walk by 16 murderers in your lifetime on average.
Now damn. I can see your theme Now I should have answered murderers every time. But it's too late now.
Kind of was, you know what that means? You know what? It just hit me. That means that part of that statistic is the one person who only ever saw one murderer their whole life, and it was their murder. So they died after they saw this murderer. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's part of those numbers. On the low end.
Sure.
That's what's known as averages, Scott.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's a really disturbing average. I don't like it.
I wonder how many of those are in Vegas. Like walking down the strip and
all 16.
Yeah. I got my whole 16 on one trip to Vegas walking down the strip.
You get one. You got to go as far as the Space Needle thing, but you'll get all 16. It'll be fine.
I really want to know how. I need you to send me. No, I'll just go back. I'm going to look at every one of those questions, and I'm going to figure out how they figured these out, because I am so curious how they know that as a statistic.
It's pretty weird. Yeah.
I mean, sure it's like, well, we all walk this past this many people a day, and there's as many murderers, and that would be this, and look, I can do math.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Me good at math.
Friend.
Hand.
Peacemaker.
Bird.
All right. Where are we? Whose turn?
That's it. Time's up. You won, Scott.
I won. Scott. I win.
Winner, winner. Those chicken five questions.
Dinner. It's pretty easy since I didn't get any.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Rasmus from Helsingborg. You're getting a copy of Milky Way Prince and Pa 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 on Steam.
Pa Pa Pa.
I had no idea.
And but don't worry, David. You're not showing up and leaving empty-handed. You're getting a copy of Effie on Steam.
Yeah, Effie. I actually think he may have gotten the cooler game. That's a pretty good game.
Really? Effie's a good game?
Oh, yeah. The other two I have never heard of, so they might
be
good.
Listen, Milky Way Prince the Vampire Star sounds like sounds like it should be a great game.
Yeah, it sounds like a real good time.
Made by the people who brought you Pigeon Dating Simulator.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Which is probably a real thing. All right. Hey, later today, speaking of weird indie games, that's what me and Brian Dunaway cover on The Boop Show, and that's happening today at 3:30 Mountain Time. So if you're around and you want to hang out with us and talk about cool games from the more indie side of the business, that's what we'll do. And that'll be today at 3:30 right here at frogpants.tv. Brian Dunaway, anything you'd like to add to that or mention or say?
Sure, man. We're going to talk a little bit about Boyfriend Dungeon. We're going to hit the dunge. Now on Xbox
Dungeon.
Game Pass.
Yeah.
It's a dating simulator slash hack and slash.
Yeah.
Slash.
Yeah. You date your sword, basically.
You date your sword.
Yep. Your swords are men, handsome men. You date them and you use them to chop down enemies.
We're going to talk about that and other crazy crap on The Boop Show.
That may sound really dumb and weird, but it's a hit.
People a lot of fun. Like
it. Yeah, people really dig it. All right.
Yeah.
Brian, have a great day. See you later. Bye. All right. Brian, we now enter the phase of the show where we take a break. When we come back, we're going to do stuff with Bill and Steven. Steven's in a remote location. I don't know where he's actually at, but he's not going to be where he normally is. So we'll see how that
goes. So he better sound good.
Yeah. No pressure, Steven. I see him in the chat. All that and more coming up. Before that, a song brought to you by, I guess, Soundography. What's going on with that
today? Brought to you by Soundography. Brand new episode just went on the feed today for Soundography. It's our last, you got to listen to this before we start getting into our regular shows. This time, it's my turn. I make Hammond listen to the Trash Can Sinatra's 1990 album, Cake, which was a huge album when I was growing up. That was such a classic. And we analyze it. We go in depth. And did Hammond like it? Well, you'll just have to listen to find out. That's over there at soundography.com.
Nice.
All right. Indie in the Middle today comes to us via Utah, by way of North Wales and Los Angeles. This is a band called The Joy Formidable. Mm. These are a... their release of their anticipated album Into the Blue. Let's see. This is their second album. Follows their critically acclaimed Kaleidoscopic 2018 album, Kaleidoscopic AAR. I'm sorry, Arth, I guess is what it's AAARTH. Arth. You may have seen them on tour with the Foo Fighters. These guys were the opening act for Foo Fighters on their North American tour. And they were also invited by The Cure's Robert Smith to play his Meltdown Festival in London. and the Pasadena Daydream Fest in LA. So these guys are definitely getting some notoriety and some attention. From their brand new album, Into the Blue, here is The Joy Formidable and the song, the title track, Into the Blue.
And they're from here? They're here now? They're based here?
They're from Utah, yeah.
Okay, I got to play this.
Utah connection!
That's the rule.
That's right.
I don't make the rules.
That's right.
That's just the rule. All right, well, awesome. Let's play it. Here it is, and we'll be right back.
Outside without you. computer will return after deciding your punishment.
I can't get close to those kryptonite horseshoes.
The Morning Stream. Bread goes in, toast comes out. You can't explain that.
All right, we've returned, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Brian, that song again.
That is Into the Blue, performed by the band The Joy Formidable. It's the title track from their new album, which comes out Friday, August 20th. So go check out The Joy Formidable.
Sorry, I had to clear my throat, and it was the worst timing ever. That sounds awesome. I also love it when a local band does good, so that's great.
Heck yeah. All right,
we are going to now add our good pal Bill to the show.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran of PunishProps.com joins us from the Pacific Northwest. Bill, what's going on, man?
Hello. Hey. There are two cats very near me, and they're growling at each other.
Are they both yours?
Yes, they are. They are both mine.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah. You know what that means, though. Any minute now, chaos, right?
That's yeah. All. So if that happens, if I just disconnect, it's because the house has been destroyed.
Yeah. I have seen some fights with cats on TikTok lately. I don't know what's going on there, but whoo, boy, howdy. Anyway, hey, it's Bill, and love having you on. It's been a bit, though. We didn't have you last week, and we missed you terribly. So why don't you fill our lives full of good maker goodness today? What's going on?
All right. Well, I've been keeping busy, and what I've been keeping busy with is some computer numerical control. That's right.
What?
Oh, CNC. I've been learning how to CNC metal.
I had no idea that's what CNC stood for. Computer numerical control?
No idea. Yes. No idea either. Had no idea.
I thought it was the CNC music factory is what it stood for.
Everybody dancing.
I just set off our Alexa. Everyone's panicking.
Well, happens here all the time. Don't feel bad.
Yes. So like your 3D printer is a CNC machine. It controls a tool in some way to create a thing. Now I've done some of this in the past. CAM is what you would call it. Computer aided machining.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I've never done it with metal. And I'm here to tell you there's a lot to learn. And the mistakes are expensive. Or more expensive than with like wood or something else.
Sure.
So so CAD is computer assisted drawing and CAM is computer assisted machining, and they work together, and I've been using Fusion 360. And just like with like a 3D print, you start by making your 3D model. So I have a project I'm working on. It's a guard for a sword, like a flat piece of metal with a thing carved into it. And I 3D modeled that, and then I'm able to use the machining tools in Fusion 360 to create a whole bunch of different operations to go and cut all of those parts out with my machine.
Sure.
It is, of course, far more complicated than that, but that is the gist of it.
Right.
You tell the machine, this is what the tool looks like I'm going to use to go cut out this piece. So here's kind of the plan I have for that. And then the computer figures out all the little paths, little machine paths it has to take for you.
In terms of like materials, there are other kinds of, like, you can do wood in some CNC machines. Like that's not even the part that really matters. If your thing's capable of cutting metal, it'll do metal. If it does wood, it'll do wood. It maybe do all, you know, both those plus more. I don't know, but it used to be, I thought this was a wood only thing because my brother-in-law Steve uses it or has one.
Sure.
And
the more hobby level, let's say, machines are probably more capable of wood. The more professional or industrial level tools are what would be used mostly for metal. And those are less common in hobby shops or in home shops, but they are becoming a lot more common.
Mm.
And the hobby CNC machines are all getting a lot better. So for example, the machine I've been using is called the Carvey. It is definitely a little hobby machine.
I hope you named it Dana.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says Carvey on there, and I do want to use the machine to cut out the word Dana right above it.
Make a nameplate for it? Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. Yes. Actually, I had a different one. It wasn't a very good one that I got rid of, but its name was Carvey Danger.
Oh! Really awesome. You could have, and then later, if you're bored of that, you could call it Carvey Danger Field, just add a field on there.
Nice. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Actually, somehow, because my life is bizarre, had dinner a couple years ago with one of the members of the band Harvey Danger.
Oh, weird.
Oh, really?
What was that? What was that about? How'd that work?
Did he have to get down off a flagpole to...
Oh man! What was what? Why were you there? What was the opportunity? I don't get it.
My pal Adam Savage was in town and had dinner with a handful of folks. And apparently, he knows that guy too. So,
well, let me pick up this name that you just dropped down.
Yeah, pick it. Don't let it get dirty. Make sure that name gets clean. Yeah, it'll be fine. No, just kidding.
I sat next to Neil Stevenson.
What?
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Whoa.
He's a cool guy.
Did you give him a book idea and then he went and made millions from it? Or
no, I didn't. I did not provide Neil Stevenson with anything of value.
Okay. That's good. It's good to know.
Anyway, my Carvey machine, the CNC machine. It is a hobby machine. It's not more than a little underpowered. It's very underpowered for metal. But I made it work. Through some trial and error, but I made it work. The machine, this one in particular, looks a lot like a 3D printer. It even has an enclosure built around it. But it's instead of a hot nozzle that poops out plastic, it has a spinning tool.
Yeah.
So instead of adding material, it removes it. Other than that, it is very similar, right? Yeah.
Like clay or whatever.
Subtractive sculpting.
Yeah. Oh, look at you with a fancy word for that. That's pretty good.
Well, I mean, I did go to art school.
Yeah. When I'm not having dinner with my good friend Adam Savage, I'm going to art school. That sounds good.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The tool pass that you create in your CAM workspace, that basically tells the machine where to drag this spinning tool through your material, hopefully in the correct spot.
Yeah.
There are some problems, though.
Oh, all right.
Some difficulties. So there are a lot of different operations that you can use. It's not as easy as going, hey, there's my part. Just cut it out. You have to be a little more specific about telling the computer what types of operations to use. So there's a bit of trial and error there, figuring out the right operations. The difficult thing, especially with this hobby machine, is figuring out how fast to push this machine. How fast can I cut through the material? What you would call your feeds and speeds. And they all have to be set very manually. I looked up what other people recommended and I kind of got to a ballpark that seemed to work pretty well, but I still had to do a little bit of tweaking here and there. If you push the machine too hard, it can actually skip steps and then everything it cuts from that point out is out of alignment.
Forever? Or you gotta, can you adjust it again? Like, you're not
sure. If you notice that it happened, you can stop the operation and reset it. If you don't notice and it goes and cuts the rest of the piece out, you're kind of hosed because it doesn't remember where zero is anymore. It doesn't remember where home is.
Right.
So if you start a new operation, it's going to be offset a little bit, which is exactly what happened to me. Or if you push the machine too hard, you will break bits. I did that too.
Oh, no. Look at you making all these mistakes so that we won't. This is great.
Yeah. So basically, like, I had a bit that was, I was pushing it too hard. It worked fine for a while, but eventually it got dull. And once it got dull, it had more friction, and then it broke. Or I pushed it way too fast, and the instant it came in contact with the metal, it snapped. Like, that happened too. So you learn. You learn these things. I bought a lot of bits. I got a lot of extra bits.
Sure. Always commit to the bits, I always say.
Trial and error seems to be the way I learned best. The other bummer is that brass can be kind of expensive. It can get kind of pricey as you make a lot of mistakes. So I did a bunch of practices on some aluminum that I had that was cheaper and kind of similar, although not that similar, it turns out. But it helped get familiar with cutting metal.
Does it the sameness or the relative sameness of metal types matters here, right? Because you can't just stick steel in there if you wanted, right?
Right. It would. This machine would probably not cut steel.
Yeah.
That would be. It probably wouldn't be able to do that.
That'd be bad.
And there's a lot of other properties other than just the general hardness of the material that make a difference that I don't quite understand yet. And I think just getting a lot of hours in cutting a lot of different materials, I think that's kind of the way I'm going to learn.
Yeah.
But I'm ready. I got a lot of cool stuff to make, and the machine works. So, and I still have bits left, so I can keep working at it.
Nice.
The way I made this thing work was to take really small, slow bites with the machine and just slowly shave off. I think I was going 0.2 millimeters at a time. Tiny, tiny little bites.
Yeah.
They took a long time. So this part I just finished took 2 or 3 days worth of machining. But it worked. It worked great. If I had a better, more industrial machine, I could have gone a lot quicker. But again,
but
it totally worked.
The way
and
you
now
described
I have this part
it,
that I'm really proud of.
So if you set it right, it is kind of a set it and forget it, meaning you let it do its thing and you don't have to sit there and monitor it the whole time, or do you?
You should keep an eye on your CNC machine.
Yeah.
But the worst that's going to happen in this case, like I said, mine is fully enclosed. The worst thing that can happen is it breaks the bit, and then it just keeps going. But at that point, it isn't going to hit your material because the bit is no longer in the equation.
Right.
So generally, the worst thing that happens is it starts cutting the wrong thing and it ruins your material and you're not there to see it happening. Or the bit breaks and you're not there to see it happening. I wouldn't probably recommend running a CNC machine while you're not in the house. Probably a bad idea, but it's not going to catch on fire or become self-aware and start, you know, burning the rest of your appliances against you. It's not that smart.
Right. You just may have if something got skiwampus, you'd want to be around to know and stop it before you lose all your material.
That's generally a good idea.
Yeah. All right. Well, very nice. These things fascinate me. I watch my brother-in-law use his, and it's honestly a little freaky.
It's so neat to see it, like, especially when you do an operation and it cuts a part out, and then you say, okay, go back in there and finish the thing on the part on the bottom. And it goes back in and puts it in exactly the same spot again, and then just keeps going.
Yeah. Well, that
it's
makes sense.
So cool.
Very, very cool. Well, as usual, before you take off and leave us all with these wonderful thoughts of CNC machines running away, you leave us with a little extra. What do you got this week?
Yes, yeah, some more CNC. Go to 3D printers. These are big industrial 3D printers that 3D print metal.
Yeah. So many people sent me this link. This is great. Yeah,
the channel is Veritasium, and he covered a company that is 3D printing rockets. And I mean, like, the real ones, big old rockets out of aluminum. It's so cool.
Whoa, what the heck?
So cool.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I don't even want. Who are these for? What are these?
They want to send rockets to space. They want a more cheaper, quicker way to make rockets for people.
That's amazing. That's a lot of aluminum, too.
Sure is.
Holy mother of pearl. All right, well, go check that out. That's over at Veritasium. Veritasium is the chat, or the channel. And you can go learn all about how to 3D print a rocket. Probably not going to be able to do it yourself, but someone's doing it, so go watch them do it. All right, very cool. Bill Duran, everybody. PunishProps.com for all the stuff he's making and doing that's cool, as well as Chinbeard on Twitter. Bill, have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Yep.
Bye.
See ya.
Oh, yeah, look at that. I'm sorry. I got a little caught up in this thing. That's amazing.
I know. It is really cool. Yeah.
Wow. What else could you make? You could make all kinds of stuff.
You could make a car.
Yeah.
Big aluminum car.
You could make an aluminum rocket car. I would drive that. All right. Who now? Oh, yeah. Bill. Steven.
Steven Schleicher. Yes.
Yeah. Let's see if this works. He's remote, but should be fine. I'm not worried. Hello?
Are you there?
Oh, hi. It is working. Oh, look at this. This is great. Oh, I didn't play your thing, though.
Steven Schleicher.
Hey, look who it is. Our old pal Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com, who's you're somewhere. Where are you? Another school or something?
I am back at work after almost 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Weird.
Okay.
For COVID. So this
you're
is
in the office.
In the office, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what you sound great. Are you,
I had to reset up because, you know, in 19 months or whatever it's been, I've got a new computer, which means that all the stuff that was here at the office is obsolete. So I had to rebuild stuff. So I didn't know if it was going to work today or not.
Wow. Well, you sound great. And are you settling in? Okay. Like that must be a weird experience.
Yeah. I mean, I'm vaccinated, but I'm still wearing my mask.
Yeah.
Cause there's a lot of people who aren't.
Yeah. Well, I heard somebody in the chat was saying Australia's got brand new lockdown business going on. Some kind of major.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lockdown. I saw that. An additional 2 weeks onto the four that they've had recently.
Yeah. It's all getting crazy. We had something like 1,600 new cases. A bunch of them are kids here just in Salt Lake. It's getting weird again.
Yeah. And school starts back up for the young ones on Wednesday this week.
Yeah. Your young ones are getting started again. Yeah. It's usually around here, most of the kids start in August, although there's a few schools or maybe age groups that start in September, early September or something. I guess we're almost there. So this is mm-hmm. back to school time, everybody. I guess enjoy and don't get sick.
Yep.
Good luck. All right. Well, we're glad to have you nonetheless. And we may as well just jump right in here. Venom 2 got delayed. What happened there? Mm-hmm. What's going on there?
COVID.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. They basically are like, hey, if we want to make this a theatrical only thing, we probably shouldn't do this in the middle of a pandemic. So how about we bump this from September 24th to October 15th? And maybe by then COVID will be over.
Why don't they? It's
that kind of comedy that they needed in Venom 1.
I know they're not alone in this. Everybody's delays left and right and whatever, but at some point your desire to avoid those losses or potential losses, you're putting off interest, right? Like I feel like the longer you do this, the less people are excited about your thing.
So there's a couple of ways you can look at this, right? So if you look at The Cabin in the Woods, that movie sat on the shelf for like 2 years before Chris Hemsworth was a big name, and they're like, well, we probably ought to release this in the theater. And then, of course, it had some good stuff. Yeah. So there's that kind of choices. Well, we can just let it sit on the shelf, and when we're ready, we can release it. The other option is, well, we could release it in a pandemic and hope that people don't call us out because the movie, quote-unquote, underperforms at the box office. Or you could do a simultaneous release. But Sony has who are they going to simultaneously release through?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And then then you could have, well, we're going to just do a digital only release. Now, A24 on the 18th, which is Wednesday, they're doing a digital release of The Green Knight, the one night only, where you watch it at a specific time where you can go onto their website and watch the Green Knight movie.
Okay.
And pay the tickets there, which I might do, but it is Wednesday night and I've got things to do. But
I do want to.
So there's those options that you can do. And right now, the Theater Owners Association or the North American Theater Organization is just bad mouthing simultaneous release left and right.
Yeah.
Whereas people who went to see the Suicide Squad at home, many people were like, yeah, this is fine here. Other people were like, I kind of wish I would have seen it in the theater. But we're not going to hear from Warner Brothers how much money came from the streaming release that's going to that movie, unlike Disney, which says let's charge $30 for Black Widow and then we can actually say that the movie's made $65 million through home release.
Right.
So it is complicated, and Sony's in that spot because they don't have their own streaming platform to just say, well, we're going to release this streaming.
They used to own Crackle. That was theirs for a while, then they got rid of it. Not that was ever a big streaming service, but they had something for a bit.
It's problematic because the states that have the most movie theaters and the biggest population are also the ones that are currently having the biggest COVID problems.
Yeah.
So that's Florida, New York, Texas, and California.
Yeah.
And so, when you look at that, it's like, well, do you go ahead and release this at, $25 million for an opening weekend release? Or do you wait until, quote unquote, this is all over? And then hopefully get $125 million.
Yeah. Well, I just don't know that, everybody, Dune got moved to August. A whole bunch of things got moved to August or October rather. So did this. So now that we got all these movies come out in October, two things are going to happen, in my opinion. It'll be very clear that in fall, none of this is fixed because why would it?
It's fall. It'll get worse by the fall.
It's worse by fall. Always is every year. If you're doing just flu coverage, it's worse by fall. So, how do you think COVID's going to be? You think it's going to be better? No. And that's number one. Number two, now you got this crowded weekend release schedule for a whole bunch of stuff that kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And they're going to be competing in a way that they weren't planning on in the first place. So even then, whatever dollars they are competing for is going to be weird. So I don't know, man. Like, I think sometimes I just think just go for your date and lock it in and go. I don't know.
Guess is we are going to see, it used to be when you had Marvel at D23 or the Disney convention, they would stand up and say, here are our plans for the next 8 years of Marvel movies. My guess is they're now going to be start announcing the year-to-year announcements only. Here's what we're planning for 2023. And then in 2023, they'll say, here's what we're planning for 2024. Yeah. Because I don't think too many studios want to get into a bind where they're like, well, we're announcing this movie that's coming out in 5 years, and now we have to push our entire schedule. And that can upset investors, that can shake confidence in the studios and the theater system.
Yeah.
So I think that in going forward, they may only say, well, in 2023, here's what we're going to release. And then they're not going to speak anything further than that until they've got production wrapped and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. We humans are bad at, maybe not bad. Like in some ways there's a lot of ingenuity going on in terms of like how to make all this work despite.
I mean, wear a mask.
Yeah, well, that too. But you know what I mean? Like, not so much people,
yeah, exactly.
But like, but like,
it's that simple.
Like the companies themselves, right? They have to dodge and weave and swerve to make this work. And in some ways, yep. I see some of that as an innovation. Like some of the stuff that's happening at home through streaming services is a great way to circumvent things, to beef things up. It also ruffles a lot of feathers. Like it's all, you know, it's all like hard change. But it'll figure itself out, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, eventually. But in the short term, I think people are going to be, and maybe in the long term repercussions, people are going to be a lot more cautious. You know, one of the reasons why they make these big proclamations of their 10-year plan for movies or whatever television releases is to boost stock market confidence, right? Mm-hmm. When I used to cover the professional film and television markets, anytime I would deal with a company like Sony or like Adobe, they would always say, we do not make forward-looking statements,
right.
Meaning that they'll tell you what we want to tell you when we want to tell you when it's ready, but we're not going to say, oh, yeah, we'll have this product ready by next year.
It's like video games.
They simply
games,
wouldn't do
thing.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, gaming. The gaming world's the same way. They don't want to They want to overcommit. Yeah. I saw, so this is not exactly connected, but I wonder if we're coming to a head on some of this stuff. So Texas, the governor just announced that if any bars or restaurants mandate masks from their patrons, which again is completely within their purview as a private business to ask them to do whatever they want to do. He's going to strip them all of their liquor licenses, which is a really
I hope you guys question Jerry this week when he's on, because I just do not understand this. Let's go hell bent in.
No, it's insanity
not to do these things.
They're out of hospital beds, and yet they're going to do that. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. But aside from that, my point is, like, we are going to come to a head here where I think mandates will happen in free market ways. And a bunch of government people who always talk about how government should stay out of our lives are going to try to get into our lives to intervene in this way. And it's going to all look real stupid and look dumb. And in some ways, I think the free market will help this happen. And some of that is like life insurance rates will go up for people who refuse to get vaccinated because, like smokers and others, they're going to get dinged because they're living in a higher risk situation, and high risk is anti good rates for your insurance. That's just how that works. So whether that affects actual health coverage insurance, I don't know, but life insurance certainly will. Like those kinds of things will start to happen where an airline says, we're the airline. You don't tell us what to do. We tell us what to do. And what we're saying is you got to wear a mask. And that's going to start have to happening, because if it's not going to be mandated by local, state and federal government, then it's up to us.
But the problem is, especially in this thing with Texas, is that it's if a business wants to mandate masks, the governor's like, no, you don't, or I'm going to take away your
it's so your effed up
livability. It's really messed up.
It's
really
so messed up.
But you're right. I think at this point we're getting very close to the shaming stage of public discourse, where we shame people for not doing this. You know how Brian turns around in the theater and looks at people when they're talking.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he just Mike Gaiman started doing this with masks and stuff like that. The problem is, well, with masks, I mean, you know, masks you can do. But I mean, obviously vaccines, you can't tell if somebody's vaccinated or not.
Right.
But there's also some people, because of medical issues, we've got one in our audience that can't get the vaccine because of a medical issue. And so it's like that.
And kids,
that's
what
keeps
youngest.
Me from just, you know, years too.
Yeah, he's 10. He can't get a shot yet.
So. Oh, right. Well, yeah, the under 12 issues.
Yeah, that too. But see, here's the thing. That person isn't going, well, I can't get the vaccine, but also I'm going to go out in public, shit everywhere, right, and blow in your face right, in the middle right, of this right. concert.
Exactly. Yes.
Like, if you really can't, yes. if people that can't get it are also being careful in whatever ways they can be for both themselves mm-hmm. and people around them. The people that go, I ain't wearing no mask, they're not doing that. They're not doing anything on the side no, to help. No. To help?
To mitigate, like, well, I can't get the vaccine, but what I'll do is all these other extra things to help.
Oh, it's killing me, man.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
killing me. And that governor's a... What an a-hole. Anyway, yeah, so politics, politics, politics tomorrow on TMS here with Justin. All right, moving on. Let's talk about My Hero Academia getting a live-action treatment. My daughter's going to lose her mind over this, either in the positive or negative. I'm not sure because she loves that show or that anime. So what do we know about this? What's going on here?
So there is a live-action adaptation of My Hero Academia being done for Legendary Entertainment, and it's going to be directed by Japanese filmmaker Shinsuke Sato, the same one who did Alice in Borderland, if you guys have seen that on Netflix, which is really good. He's also done I Am Hero and Kingdom as well. And so I think a lot of people will get a kick out of this, hopefully when they get a good cast and crew. For those people that don't know what My Hero Academia is, I'm going to guess that there's maybe one or two people in your audience who doesn't. It started out as a manga about suddenly 80% of the Earth's population develops these superhero abilities called quirks. And so the series follows these kids as their quirks develop, and they go to hero high school essentially and learn to use their powers and learn what it means to become heroes, and maybe they will get hired on to become licensed heroes to protect the populace.
Mm, yeah,
and so it's really good. I don't know if you've watched it, Scott or Brian, but I enjoy it. My kids enjoy it.
Yeah. It's, I've never seen it.
I feel like
if anybody wants to read the manga, it's available now over on Viz Media. So you can go to viz.com, viz.com, and you can read the digital collections right now.
Are they all backwards on there?
Yes. Okay. Yes. But when you read it digitally on the website, you can just set it up so when you click the right button, it'll just take you to the next page as opposed to the left page.
Okay. Yeah. Because the actual books, that kills me. I can't do it. I have a really hard time with that.
Yeah. It takes a little bit, but after a bit, you figure out how to do it.
Yeah. It's like playing Mario Brothers by running to the left. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah. I'm kidding. That is...
I guess you can run to the left in Mario games, but like the original Mario Brothers, the point is if you want to progress, you got to go that way, you know?
Right.
That's just how it was. All right. Well, that looks cool. I think that could be neat. Now, the one story I was looking forward to the most, we now get to finally talk about Transformers, the chess set. I am so into this idea. When can I get it?
I mean, you can back the Kickstarter now. It's got like almost 40 days to go. It needs to raise $300,000 to get this done. It's got, about a sixth of that already. This is the Eagle Moss Hero Collector has teamed up with, I'm pretty sure, Hasbro to get the license for the original looking Transformers designs, to where if you want to play the Decepticons as one team and the Autobots on the other, you can play these 32 individual chess pieces. Obviously, Optimus Prime is the White King, and Megatron, or what's his name, Megatron,
yeah, Megatron.
is the Black King. Mm-hmm. So it looks pretty cool. I mean, this reminds me back in the day. I think they still do this. Like, was it the Franklin Mint or something would have like the Civil War chess set or the DC Universe chess set, yeah. And you could have your chess game look just like a Transformer. Now the pieces do not transform, but it still looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks all right. It's very plasticky and colorful, which I think will really appeal to old fans.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the pawns? There's no pawns in this.
Yeah, there are pawns. So on the Decepticon side, you have Brawl, Frenzy, Laser, Beak, Ravage, Rumble, Scrapper, Shrapnel, and Thrust for the Decepticons. And on the Autobot side, you have RC, Bluestreak, Bumblebee, Jazz, Prowl, Sideswipe, Sunstreaker, and Wheeljack.
But they don't show them anywhere.
Like they do. I mean, they have some pictures in there of what they look like. If you look at the main chessboard, you can see RC and Bumblebee in there as pawns.
Oh, I see them, but I don't. Oh, I guess.
And I think it's also the height of their platform helps designate what their ranking is.
Oh, what their deal is. Okay.
Yeah. And if you scroll down under the chess pieces set, it gives you a list of all of the characters that are appearing and what their role is.
Eagle Moss, they make some great stuff. The Marvel lead figures that I have were all part of that same Eagle Moss series. And then they did the chess set, which Green Bay Spidey in the chat room has as well, which really, really good stuff. They make quality.
Would you this Marvel one, is it full color, or is it all like pewter looking, or how
total full color, and they're lead and they're heavy. Like Kingpin weighs Kingpin probably weighs like a pound.
Oh wow. Jeez. That's cool.
Yeah.
What is he? Yeah. Is he a king on the bad side, or what is he?
No, it's the one I have isn't a chess set though. It's just little lead figures of all the Marvel characters. And
gotcha.
And it fills one of those IKEA three-level glass towers. There's probably, 250 of these characters.
That's a lot.
It is.
Holy crap. And one of them weighs a pound. Is he the biggest, or is there anything that rivals him, like the Hulk or something?
Hulk is pretty heavy. It's funny because about three-fourths of the way through the set, they figured out a way to have lead on the outside and then maybe resin on the inside to cut down the weight. So Sasquatch is bigger than Kingpin, but weighs less.
Oh, wow. That makes sense.
Costs $600, which I know some people are like grabbing their chest and screaming, I'm coming for you, Elizabeth. But when you consider some of the other games that go on Kickstarter, $600 is about right. Like if you're doing something from Cool Mini or not, or if you're doing, you know, some of these other things, they can really crank up in price when you add in all the extras and stuff there.
That's a lot, man. Jeez. I guess though, if you're
thank
really
you for laughing at my joke there,
if you, it was really good. You're I'm coming for you, Elizabeth. It was really funny.
You didn't have to tell me please clap like Jeb Bush did.
No. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Those were the days. All right. Well, this looks great. I'm going to follow this and see how things go. Whether I want to spend $600 is still sort of up in the air, but we'll find out. Steven, as always, plenty going on majorspoilers.com. I assume you guys did some cool coverage of all the Suicide Squad business and all of that.
Yep, the Suicide Squad as opposed to the Academy Award-winning Suicide Squad.
Yes, yeah, so I got to keep that and keep that straight. Yeah. Which one we're talking about? The one with
the
shark.
We'll be talking about that this week on the Major Spoilers podcast pre-show. For those of people who are our patrons, we'll be talking about that there. We did do a review of the first trade paperback of the Suicide Squad on last week's show, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago show. So people can go check that out at majorspoilers.com.
Very nice. Steven, is there any other advice you'd like to give us before I cut you off?
Mask it or casket, people.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, I've never heard that before. That's pretty good.
That is really good.
Mask it or casket.
Mask it or casket.
Dark, man.
And a green and yellow basket. No, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, isn't it? A whole other thing. All right, we're going to do a Monday morning mashup. I saved this a week because I wanted Brian to be here for it. So,
nice. Thank you for that.
Yeah, hell yeah. So here it is. It's called Full Twerkle, made by Jamie himself, TMS Mashups himself. Here it is. Enjoy. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. Going down this pole and I can't frequency or whatever. I don't know how it goes.
And Steven Schleicher and Bill Duran making things and comic stuff, major spoilers, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I mean, it's to bluff. He's clearly bluffing, and he died in a poker game where he cheated.
I'm going to eat salad and have a sandwich.
Wonder Farm, Bird's Nest, White Fungus, which is what I wrestled under for a few years when that was my wrestling name.
I went and looked at the fuse box, and there are no breakers broken. What do you say with breakers? Switch?
Breaker?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I need to do this. Why am I not doing this in the teen of life?
You need to call my dad because nothing in the kitchen is working.
Ooh, I can see things in it.
Oh, I'm not looking. I'm not smelling. I'm not looking.
All right, here goes. Ready?
Yes.
Oh.
It's thick.
That's it. That's all.
What's the matter with you?
Yeah, why didn't you see the switch? What's going on?
Why you screw up my birthday with this bullshit?
I had a rough morning. Brian, I couldn't see because I hadn't had my coffee yet.
If you go watch the women's all-around final from Friday on Peacock, do you subscribe?
I have Peacock.
Ew, it is thick. I just spilled some.
You know, I tried to pick something up off the ground, but my boobs kept pushing it out of the way because they're so long.
O'Reilly's Uptown Tavern. Hey, where are you coming
here? Not to be confused with the O'Reilly's Downtown Tavern. That's a rough place right down there.
That's right. Maybe you keep your gun in your car, you dipshit.
All right, get out of here with your penis. But
I don't know if he was pretending to be a badass or something.
I couldn't tell. I mean, if you think about it, the bullet going off on yourself is pretty badass in the end. It's pretty badass.
It was a badass little pistol he had there.
Ah, we were all impressed by it until he shot himself.
There was no safety button.
What would it take for you to get your nip pierced, Scott?
Like, oh my gosh.
New Patreon level.
Fire up that needle gun at Claire's.
Oh, it hurts right now. Saying, just talking about it, it hurts. My boob. My boob hurts.
What was the movie where a cop was moved to desk duty because he shot a kid who was holding up a gun, but it turned out to be a...
oh, it was a toy.
Airsoft gun.
Yeah, or some kind of fake gun or toy gun. Yeah. So Al got busted down to desk duty.
That's why he was on Twinkie duty.
At the local Twinkie Mart before he got that call and drove his car backwards into the
And then he said,
possible.
I'm getting too old for this shit. And then
he did TGI Fridays.
And he did an impersonation of the Three Stooges and talked about Popeye.
And then became Urkel's dad. Full circle.
Right. All that is accurate.
From Twinkies to Urkel. Twerkle.
Twerkle. Whoa.
I know. Full circle, full twerkle is what we're doing here. Well, I'm glad we finally got around to what the twerkle reference was. I couldn't remember. Wow, that was
God,
great.
That's so much gold in that one. Yeah. So much gold.
That's one of your best ones, Jamie. Nicely done.
For sure. Hey, Tina's doing something cool. Mind if I talk about it now?
Go ahead. Yeah, of course.
Tina is walking. It's amazing. She can roll over. She's eating solid foods. It's great. Brian! Anyway, she is raising money for an Alzheimer's walk that is happening in September, about a month from now, September 18th, so a month and 2 days from now. And I designed the t-shirt for it. It's for their local group, the Adult Protective Services Alzheimer's Walk. They're a team, but it's part of this whole big Alzheimer's Walk. Right. Anyway, if you want to contribute, and I urge you to do so, visit tiny.cc/TinaWalk. You like how I did that?
Yeah.
Tina Walk. I'm amazed that wasn't already taken. tiny.cc/TinaWalk. Yeah. And help support her team for this Alzheimer's thing. You know, Alzheimer's is a big thing in her family. Mm-hmm. Just because her grandmother had it, so we're worried about her mom, we're worried about her, and sometimes, really, she listens to this show and we're worried about me, too.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Alzheimer's needs some good research to help eradicate Alzheimer's, because I think we can get rid of it in our lifetimes. Anyway, that is tiny.cc/TinaWalk.
Very nice. I love that. Very cool, Tina. Good job. We make fun of your voice, but hot damn. That's a good, cause.
And really, she has a beautiful voice. There's no
comparison, right? It's not even close. Yeah. It's like our Irish accent. Nobody talks like that.
No, exactly.
Not like we do it. All right. Hey, right. patreon.com/TMS is how you support us. And I wanted to read an email real quick from Tyler Babb from North Glen, Colorado. Do you know where that is?
I do know. North Glen is very close. There's a Free Time Comics in North Glen that I go to all the time.
Nice. I would like to go there right now. He says this: good morning, Scott and Brian. If it gets read on the show, it's for all the non-patrons out there. It's $1 a month, people. Come on. I know you subscribe to Netflix or Hulu or HBO or all of them, but TMS Patron is cheaper than any of those. Just look at all those hours of content you get. I listen to TMS when I do yard work and when I'm driving to work and when I'm gaming and when I'm showering. Heck, even when I'm pooping, he says. TMI in my parentheses. Oh, it's never too much information.
TMI? TMS? TMI?
Yep. He says, I can't say that about any other subscriptions I've mentioned. So, hey, show your love to your favorite creators who should have charged more but didn't. Take advantage of their mistake. You know it's worth it. Anyway, love all you do, Tyler Babb.
Look at him, piggybacking on our deal. Nice, well done there.
That was really great. Thank you for that. And he's right. It's super cheap, and you get tons of cool stuff. Go check it out. Patreon.com/TMS for everything else. It's frogpants.com/TMS, and we're out of here. A reminder, Boop this afternoon, 3:30, and I'm sure other things. Hey, Brian, why don't we leave with a song? Do you have one?
I just happen to have found one in my lap. So
great.
Perfect. This one is a year old. This one actually got requested a year ago, but because it wasn't tied to a birthday or an anniversary, it worked out perfectly for today. Thomas, aka Trumpole, in the chat I know he's still around these days, says, hi, Scott and Brian. Recently, I had a pretty bad weekend and was not looking forward to going back to work on Monday. But after listening to Film Sack, the Running Scared episode, nice little callback there, and Oh Child, covered by Lisa Loeb, I was actually feeling pretty good. So hopefully this song has the same effect for anybody else in a bad mood and helps them out of their funk. Thanks, guys. Signed, Thomas.
Nice.
So this is a great cover. This one comes to me from, or comes to us from the Lullaby Girl album from 2017. Lisa Loeb covering the Five Stair Steps and a great track called Ooh Child.
Oh, awesome. All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow with a whole new episode. So come back then. We'll see you then. Part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Yeah, man, but it's a dry heat.